this morning, Father, that we'd have new ears to hear and to listen. Those are two different things. Help us be good listeners to you this season, Lord. And Father, help us to let you do what you want to do and stop fighting you on it. We just would surrender to you and let you do the thing you want to do this year. And you be glorified with it, and we praise you for it. And if you agree with it, say in Jesus' name, amen. All right. Currently, at New Season Christian, you make me nervous because you stand up like, got it. It's over there. Like, Pastor, I'm on security right now. There's, I'm looking over here. What's going on? Yeah, that's what I mean. He's on his post. I'm like, hey. Makes me want to get on my post, you know? I'm like, Cody's on his post. I want to be on my post. But at New Season, yeah, he loves when I point him out. He loves that. We've been in another series of Deep Roots here at New Season Christian Fellowship. This is Deep Roots Season 3, right? Season 3. We may have to pause it because Resurrection Sunday is coming up. I don't know if you guys were aware. So we may. And baptisms, if you've never been baptized and given your life to Jesus publicly and just said, I'm in, it's a symbol, but it's like, man, you can't take the hood out of the boy. It's like being jumped into a club. Sorry, but it is like that. You're going out. You're going down different. I'm not going to be serving me no more. I accept Jesus my Lord and Savior, but I've been my own Lord, and I only call out to him for saving. Baptism's like, no, I'm going down, and I'm staying down a dead man, and I'm coming up a new life that's surrendered to Christ. If you've never done that, come Easter Sunday. Not Palm Sunday is baptism. Next Sunday. Fantastic. Please sign up. Cody will show you where. I didn't know either, dude, so you know, I'm going to throw it right on. Deep Roots Season 3, got a quick recap. Some of us, we watch series, you need the recap because you forgot everything that happened the last time you watched it, right? First thing we got to recap is Moses got out of Egypt, right? We've been there. And Moses was shepherding in Midian, right? He's just chilling. And then here's a great thing. This is where it all begins to turn. And this is your life, too, if you are a born-again Christian. This is where your life turns. You had an encounter with God. So did Moses. Moses had an encounter with God. And that sounds funny, but some people have never had an encounter with God. I forget that when I say that, they look at you like, ever talk about like your Jesus experience and what God has done for you, and they just look like, I don't. You talk to God, like, and he's talked back to you? Like, are you crazy? And then God starts doing things, and I go, man, God must be talking to you. I think sometimes it's weird for us, but it shouldn't be. Say, I'm the church. I am the church, and we should have encounters with God ourselves. Right? And we know because of the series, it's not shocking. The series probably enlightened you. You didn't realize, maybe. It's just great teaching. But you realize that God encounters individuals all the time. And he uses individuals. And he talks to individuals. And he's looking for individuals all the time. Right? Say, God meets with individuals, right? So Moses meets with God. That's where we left him off. Mo is hanging out there. And he's hanging out on holy ground. So this is where we left off the series. Mo encounters God. He's like, what? And God says, take your shoes off, bro. Everywhere I am is holy, so I need you to understand that. So that's where we left them off. You know, the Charlton Heston burning bush. That's where we are. And it's cool. But then I can relate to Moses a little bit, because here you are standing before God. He's just, and then Moses hears what God says to him, and then Moses has some questions. God ever tell you something? You go, I got a question about that. Yeah. Ever get advice from anybody? Go, I have some questions. You know, so I don't fault him for it. Like, okay. I do have some questions, you know, questions about his assignment, which in a nutshell, let's go back over his assignment. So we know what God said to him. First of all, in a nutshell, the assignment is meet with Pharaoh. I left Pharaoh. Pharaoh wanted to kill me. That's why I'm here. Meet with Pharaoh. Okay. And then I want you to deliver. Say deliver. Like, I have expectations that you're going to do what I ask you. I expect you to deliver. I delivered. I want you to deliver. Deliver every Israelite from Egypt. Every And then, what? Meet with Pharaoh, deliver all of the Israelites that outnumber the Egyptians. So I'm going to take more than half their country. And I'm going to do what with them? And you're going to bring them all back here to worship me. If I had the time today, and it's going to be a separate series, and I'll probably bring other people involved to help me do it. But I hope to do a series this year on worship. How important worship is in our lives. I can say this to you, and this is going to suffice for where I'm going to talk about that part today, but God expects acts of worship from his people. God expects acts of worship from his people. God expects acts of worship from his people. We make the analogy between God and his bride, the Christ, right? Maybe Christ or the bride, we get that little analogy. You can't tell me one marriage that doesn't want love expressed to them. If it goes expressionless as a professional marriage and family counselor, if love goes unexpressed on a regular basis, that marriage doesn't last very long. And so we're his bride. Who should be bringing the worship? Who should be bringing that? Well, God just needs to meet me. No, he met you. He wants to know if you love him. He already told you he loved you. Bang, bang, bang. He told you he loved you. Stretch his arms as wide as he could. But worship's about you're giving your love back. Honoring holy ground. Getting involved. Say, Pastor, move on. That's not the message. I got you. It's not the message. For time's sake, I'm going to mash some stuff. I'm going to do some mashing of events just for time's sake to get us where we're supposed to be in episode 3. Say deep roots. Deep roots, right? We all, and here's the thing about deep roots, you got to pay attention to this. We all have a little Moses in us. Well, how can you say that? Well, we've been grafted into the vine. And Christ's ancestry is my ancestry. I got a little Moses in me. And I got a little Moses in me because he has an expectation for me to do something. Does he have something for you? So he has a little Moses in his people. So we should pay attention to that because he wants to talk to the little Moses in you. I love you, sweetheart. I'd like to see you. Great smile. Got you. But I want to mash some stuff up. And because not only is there a little Moses in us, but there's a little Egypt in us too. A little bit of Egypt. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gotta get it over there. Right? And so we have a little Moses, a little Egypt. And I want to mash up some stuff, but I don't want to spend too much time in Moses' weaknesses. Not too much. And here's my main reason why. You ready? Another man's weakness should never be our main focus. Another man's weakness should never be our main focus. Another man's weakness should never be our main focus. Focus on yourself. A public service announcement. Also, to be honest with you, as a fellow human, if you're not a human, I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up, but I'm just saying, as a fellow human, don't you get it that even Moses the Great was not perfect? Even Moses the Great wasn't perfect. Say grace. There's only one perfect one. Right? If you know him, say Jesus. That's it. That's the only one, right? Moses does have, like us, some insecurities. Anybody, you know? Some shortcomings. I got one or two, you know. And the stuff that I skip over in this series, I want you to go read it. Say, I'll read it, Pastor. Okay, thank you very much. Deep Roots Season 3, Episode 3, Moses the Deliverer, Exodus 4, 1 through 3. Exodus 4, 1 through 3. Then Moses answered the Lord and said, remember, he's in the burning bush. Here, go do these three things. Moses' next response is, take my shoes off and then ask a question. Moses answered the Lord and said, what if they will not believe me or take seriously what I say? Has anyone ever had that legit fear? God, you said what? I have to go pray for who? And I tell them that they remind me of a vinyl album. It's weird. That's pretty risky, God. You want me to go pray for someone? How do you even know she's sad? I'm going to go over there and pray for her? She don't look sad to me. What if she says, anybody can relate to anything like that? Okay. So Moses has a legitimate question, right? Well, what if, you know, it's a legit fear? For, he's like, I got an example. Let's workshop here. Let's just do a little communication administration workshop, and we're going to talk about communication. So, for example, God, what if they say something crazy like, the Lord has not appeared to you? They could say that, Lord. They could. And the Lord answered him. God is going to show that by the time all this Exodus business is over, his people are going to know him, because they don't know. They're his people, but they don't know him. They've been going to church a long time, but they don't know him. You will know the great I am. And not only are you going to know I am who I say I am, you're also going to understand that I'm the authority over everything. I'm talking about everything. Say everything. He's going to prove to them I'm God and I have authority over everything. The acts of God are about to ramp up in Egypt. They're about to ramp up in Egypt. I don't know if you've been noticing the acts of God around the world. They've been ramping up in Egypt. I'm just bringing it together. And the Lord said to him, Moses, here's your answer to your question. The Lord said to him, what's in your hand? How many know that God will use what you have? If you give it to him, God will use what you have. What's in your hand? What's your skill set? You hammer or you poet? Man, what's in your hand? I got nothing. What's in your hand? First thing he asked him, what's in your hand? God will use what you have, and guess what he'll do else? He'll add to what you don't. God will always add what you don't have, but you got to give him what you do have first. You want him to do his part. He always says, I want to see act of faith. What's in your hand? What's the one thing you have authority in your life right now? What's the one thing that sets you up as Moses? You're in Midian and you're grooving. That staff, that's all I have. That's all I have in my life. I'm the shepherd for this rich guy and I married his daughter and that's what I got now. I want you to throw that down. That's not who you are. I know, it makes me cry if I think about it. And he said, a staff. And God said, throw it to the ground. Remember that our stuff is not as cool as we think it is. And sometimes we need proper perspective. Man, I'm the best at this, and I just use it for God. Throw it down. What? Throw it right in the dirt. My special gift that you gave me? Because it's become more special than I have. God said, throw it to the ground. And then... And Moses did a really smart thing. He threw it to the ground. Learning right away. Yep. Okay. What'd you say? On it. You know, boom, in the ground. You could move, Mo. And then what happened? It became a living serpent. A living serpent like the royal symbol on the crown of Pharaoh. Say, look at your neighbor and say, that's a hilarious coincidence. Yeah, that's a sarcastic moment. If you don't have sarcasm, I forgive me. That'd be so. Look at your other neighbor, sarcastic, and go, "That's a hilarious coincidence." So they know it's sarcastic, you know. Yeah. And then Moses ran from it. Man, that was, dude, that was just in your hand, huh? You know, what's in your hand? A staff. And what kind of authority do you have in this world? What's in your hand? All Egypt, beyond. All Egypt and beyond us today, we're going to know through this story, this series, what God did then. We're going to know that God is God of nature. He's the God of external forces. He's the God of creatures. He's the God of plagues. There is no realm untouchable by God. By the end of this story, he touches every single realm. He smashes every single false god. I can give leprosy. I can do healing. I can do things, bread from the sky. I can do frogs. I can do it. Tell me what I can't do. You ain't never had a friend like me. You know? Also, in the midst of this, here's Moses. You know, he's like, okay, here's my staff. I get it. You got stuff. Moses asked for a helper to take on some of the speaking responsibilities and the burden share. I look at that as a leader and go, oh, I would probably have done the same thing. Don't send me alone, Lord, because you know me. Back to Egypt. That's where my boys are, you know? I want to skip through a moment. Moses does have some insecurities. like this. You can read about them. But I'm not good with crowds. Anybody ever have that fear? I just don't want to ever get on stage. Pastor, don't ever call me up there. No. But you get your leg grew back. I don't want to tell nobody. Not on stage. It'll be in the book, you know. I'm not good with the crowds, he said, and I'm not eloquent. I don't speak very well. I'm more like a rhino. And then sometimes I'm a cotton-headed nitty muggins. And you know that, Lord, you know. Say, we're going to read it. Okay. God said, okay, cool, I'm going to give you a helper. I'm going to give you Aaron. But this is the point he makes to Moses in this smash-up I'm doing. I'm going to bring Aaron to you, and he's going to be a help. But you still have to do it. You have stuff that you have to do that nobody else can do for you, no matter how much you beg and plead that someone else would do it for you. God said, you got to do it. You got to Egypt. You need to get out of yourself. If you're ever going to lead anybody out of Egypt, you got to get out yourself. Right? That's just the way it is. Right? Then God kind of calls this huddle to remind Moses of some stuff. I love when he does that. I'm a guy that needs constant reminders of things. Before the cell phone existed, when I worked in the field of medicine, people would come into my wall and they would see this massive display of sticky notes. Boom, boom, boom. They said, what's that for? That's to remind me to do this. That's to remind me to do that. That's another thing. I need reminders. So when God does it, I'm happy. God calls Moses and reminds him of stuff. And this is what the stuff he reminds him of. They got a slide here, right? Good. God reminds us of stuff that we should know too. This is for Moses and us. God needs to remind us sometimes of the big picture. Don't get lost in the stuff. Listen, if you're not listening to anything today, I hear this. Do not get lost in your stuff. Do not get lost in the stuff. Don't get lost in the stuff. There's a bigger picture. Stop getting lost in the stuff. Don't get lost. There's a lot of stuff. Stuff wants to get your attention. Stuff's begging for your attention. Moses, don't get lost in the stuff because you'll forget your ultimate purpose. If you get so lost in the stuff, you'll forget why, right? And then the second thing he pulls Moses is, temper your expectations, Moses. What's that mean? Temper your expectations. Yeah, just expect what God says to expect, not what you expect. Just expect what God says to expect and not what you expect. You got to temper your expectations. You got to align them to what God is expecting. And the part of that problem is we heard them, but we didn't listen. Exodus 4, 19 through 23. Then the Lord said to Moses in Midian, go back to Egypt. And this time he says it's more like this. Go back to Egypt. Get. So now, get moving. About face, go. Now time. Egypt, like sometimes, oh God, someday I'm going to send you, you know, to do this in the world. Someday I'll go back to Egypt. God will use me someday. Someday's gone. Now it's here. It's time to get out of Egypt. And it's time to go about the thing God told you to do. This is the season. That's what we're in. The Lord said to Moses, go back to Egypt. And then he says, for all the men who are seeking your life for killing the Egyptian are dead. He's like, I took care of it. You know? So Moses took his wife and his sons and seated them on donkeys and returned to the land of Egypt. And the whole time, I would be thinking, ick. Anybody ever been delivered from Egypt in your life? And then imagine having to go back to Egypt. And you're bringing people you love. And you don't love Egypt so much. Moses also took the staff of God in his hand. Say, smart move, Moses. Smart move. He did it. The Lord said to Moses, when you return to Egypt, see that you perform. When you return to Egypt, see that you perform. When you return to Egypt, see that you perform. Look at your neighbor. Say, it's time to perform. It's time to perform. See that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders which I have put in your hand, but here comes the temper of your expectations, right? See you do everything I told you to do, but, right? Perform like I said, but remember, be very aware of God's expectations. So God's going to go, you know, do what I said to do, but this is what's going to happen. I will harden his heart and make him stubborn, so that he will not let the people go. If I were Mo, I have a big question right there. I'd be like, wait, God. I haven't put my sandals back on or anything, but what did you just say? Isn't delivering the people from the location of Egypt out of there the goal? So you're telling, I'm going to go do what I said, and he's still not going to do what you want? And then here's the problem with that. That's not the primary thing God wants. God's goal was for his people to know him and to trust him and to worship him. Deliverance is a byproduct of that. Deliverance is a byproduct of that. And so that's what he's trying to get across. They don't know him. He says, you don't know me. You don't trust me and you don't worship me. Not with how it's supposed to happen. So it's not about that, Moses. I need to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt to my people I am who I say I am. And then I'll get them out of Egypt. The key is always really knowing God. Any circumstance in your life, if you know God, if you know God, I'm not saying it's not hard. But if you know God, that's the key to the circumstance. Really knowing God will free you from any circumstance. The scripture is good. I'll go back to it. Then, he says, you shall say to Pharaoh, I have an emoji in here that you would love, Miley. It's that cold face. It's frozen face going, I have a big one here, right here. Why? Why? Because this is going to be hard to hear. Some things are hard to hear. Some things we don't want to hear. Some things we like God not to say. But that would put us Lord over him and not the other way around. So thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. And I say to you, let my son go so that he may serve me. And if you refuse to let him go, behold, I will kill your son, your firstborn. That's a steep cost. He told him ahead of time. He laid it out. He said, I want my people free and I want them to freely worship me. And if you keep killing my firstborn, there's a point where I'm done with that, and I'm coming for yours. Moses did all that stuff in front of the people. As Aaron is a sidekick, you got to play your role, right? Sidekicks are important. Exodus 4:31. He threw the staff down. Oh, that's great. The people believed when they heard that the Lord was concerned about the Israelites. Like, he really loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Like, when you really get that, your heart changes. When you really get that, your heart changes. And this was amazing. And that he looked with compassion on them. And when they heard that and they found it says, then they bowed and worshiped the Lord. When he really touches your heart, that's the best response. That's what he's looking for. Like, that's where he wants to dwell in that moment, right? So they're like, wow, God really cares about me? Yeah. But what they don't know, it's going to get hard. You might have to go through some counseling. You might have to walk through a desert. You might have to climb a mountain. You might have to lay some things in your hand down. But, oh, how I love you. And when you really hear that, worship comes out of you. Moses is called the deliverer, and he's called to deliver on whatever God asks of him, not what Moses wants done. Say, I'm the church now. So Moses was sent to God's people. He was sent to Pharaoh, and he was sent to do a job to deliver. Say, I am the church now. But recall, he never said it would be easy. Exodus 3:5-9. Afterward, Moses and Aaron came and said to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord God of Israel. Now, I got to put this caution in. Look, the thing, I have these things, like, is there time? I don't know if there is, but I'm going to share it. The church should be cautious when she is speaking for God. Say, I am the church. Listen, please listen to what I'm saying. The church should be speaking for God. Just make sure it's him. Because there's consequences to that. There is. He says, say to them, let my people go so that, what does God want? Why does he want his people free? So that they may celebrate a feast to me in the wilderness. God says, I desire worship for my people, and that's why I'm freeing them. I'm freeing them because I want love. I want to be worshiped. I want to reestablish what I said to Abraham, my friend. I miss them. Time's like nothing to him, so the 400 years you've been in slavery is 400 years I've been without the love that I created. I want them free. God starts Pharaoh off with a simple request. This is simple. He's not saying he's not bringing them back. All he's saying is, let them go for 3 days to worship me. Isn't that a simple request? Pharaoh should have done it the easy way, right? Pharaoh should have done that the easy way, right then and there. Just, okay, God. God said, what? Okay, I can do that. Pharaoh should have done it the easy way. But if I get this little note that says, some of our messes come when we don't listen to God first in his simple request too. Sometimes he starts off with a simple request with us, and then we end up in a difficult place. We go, whoa. I said, wait, I tried to tell you. I whispered it over here. I told you, I sent 14 people and say, don't do that. Don't date him. Stay away from her. Not right now. Don't eat that. I told you not to eat that. Why? Because you're lactose intolerant. But I like pizza. I told you. I told you gently. It's not going to be gentle later. Some of our messes are because we don't listen and we don't do simple things. This happens in our relationships all the time. And just take it out of the God situation, right? Happens in our relationships. Say, I'm the church, and I'm getting healthier. So you can move on, Pastor. He says, let my people go so they may celebrate a feast to me in the wilderness. But Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? Strike one. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I wore this shirt on purpose, Joe. Do you know why? Because there's a song that you and I love. It goes, don't tug on Superman's cape. Don't spin in the wind, right? Don't mess around with God. Like, Pharaoh, don't be tugging. That means, like, don't provoke him. You don't know him. Like, if you walk into my hometown and you see an old Italian guy and you're just feeling all your oats and you give him trouble, be careful because you don't know him. You don't know who him could be. Yeah, little old guy cut me off. That little old guy owns half this city and that little old guy puts people in the sand. You don't know. So here's, he says, who is the Lord that I got to obey him? Oh, careful, Pharaoh. Careful, we could do this the easy way, bro. You're about to find out. Right? And it's ultimately sad for Pharaoh because he sees all the signs, wonders, and miracles that God does, and he has to surrender ultimately at the end. He has to bow down and give God what God says. And he does all that surrendering, but he never gets free. He saw the same things, everything everybody else saw. And he decided to be in opposition to God to the bitter end. Man, that sounds like humans. Sounds like humans. I wonder, though, what if when this was said to Pharaoh, I just wonder, this is just me. I wonder if Pharaoh would have responded, here I am, speak to me. I wonder if he said, Pharaoh, do this. Yes, I'm Pharaoh. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I wonder how that all turned out. One simple yes, sir. I wonder. Even the power of God was so obvious that he kept fighting against it. Scripture, I'll go back. He says, I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. Cool. If you're Moses and Aaron, you should be able to go, expected that. God told me. I came with the message. You said, no, bro. I expected the rejection. He said there'd be rejection when we brought the good news. Oh, Jesus said that. I got it mixed up there a little bit, but they're a lot like each other. Yeah. So you shouldn't expect some rejection when you bring freedom news. Then they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go on a 3 days journey. Come on, Pharaoh, do it the easy way. Look at your neighbor and say, next time, you should choose the easy way. 3 days into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God so that he does not discipline us. Listen, all Egypt's going to have to deal with what's coming next. Hebrews and Egyptians alike. But the king of Egypt, the mighty king of Egypt, said to Moses and Aaron, You know what? Why do you take the people away from their work? Here's the problem. There's Pharaoh's position. Labor and commerce is more important to Pharaoh than what God says. Yeah, that's what? The American dollar. Is it more important to you than what God says? Be careful. There's a little Pharaoh in all of us, too. Well, I feel old school Pentecostal today, you know. Labor and commerce is more important to Pharaoh than what God says. He says, get back to your burdens. Pharaoh said, look, the people of this land are now many. And I would have them, and you'd have them stop their work. Listen, this is probably for every human that I know. If God says it's time to stop working, listen to him always. Whatever you're working on, and he says, stop working on it, stop working on it. Instantly. Every season, I know this of God. He deserves our attention. He deserves our obedience in every season. So the very same day, check this out. This gets said. Pharaoh, let this happen. Pharaoh says, who's God? And then the very same day, I have a little side note here. Ever make an impulse decision and regret it? Yeah, decisions without prayer often end up dumb. Pharaoh's about to go, and here he is, reacting all impulsively. Careful, Pharaoh. This very same day, Pharaoh gave the orders to the Egyptian taskmasters in charge of the people and to the Hebrew foremen, which these are the persons that had cushier slave jobs. So he's about to try and divide the people right here. He's saying, this is what you're going to tell these guys. You will no longer give the people straw to make bricks as before. Moses didn't see that one coming. He said he'd make Pharaoh's heart hard and he'd reject it. He didn't say, what? It lines up with the theme, though, that it's going to get harder, right? Lines up with the theme. He says, go, let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the number of bricks which they're making shall require of them the same. They will not be reduced in the least, for they are idle and lazy, and that is why they cry. You better get God's perspective on that, boss, before you go judging somebody else. Man, we're super terrible at it. For they are idle and lazy. That is why they cry, let us go and sacrifice to our God. He said, let labor be heavier. Let labor be heavier. Let labor be heavier on the men and let them work hard at it. So that, why? Why is Pharaoh doing this? He's playing his hand right here. Why is that? So that they will pay no attention to their God's lying words. Be honest sometimes, though. This is what's happening. When things get tough for God's people, we, like they, say I'm the church, when things tend to get tough, we focus on our tough time. Our needs of whatever. I'm a victim, hear me roar. I'm too squeaky to ignore. Right? We do. It got tougher. God didn't promise you easy. He promised you freedom. Those are two different things sometimes, right? It's the truth. We get so caught up sometimes in our victim status and the conditions we find ourselves in that we're not focused on what God says at all. That's what he's saying. He goes, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make stuff so hard, they're going to forget about God. They're actually going to say his words are a liar. That's where I think tick God off. Because God said, I am my word. I'm all about my word. I'm about to keep my word, boy. You're about to see it. You're about to see what I'm about to do. So keep your words rolling. Keep talking your trash, Pharaoh. I see you, right? Maybe God's not as Italian as I make him out to be. It seems cold, though. It seems cold to say to us, but you got to stop letting your circumstances dictate how you worship God. Dictate who's first in your life. Circumstances are stuff. You're going to get caught up in stuff. You got to stop getting caught up in the stuff and listen for him, right? Also, you know, like I said, God's words, he's about to perform things. And sometimes when we say stupid stuff, there are consequences. I said a bunch of stupid stuff that I probably reap to this day. Yep, wish I could have took that back. I was only 24. I'm going to pay for the rest of my life for saying that. Okay, gotcha. There are things. So here's Pharaoh becoming unreasonable. Exodus 5, 19 through 21. The Hebrew foreman saw that they were in a bad situation because they were told, you must not reduce to the least your daily quota of bricks. But we're not going to give you the materials. You got to get it yourself. When they left Pharaoh's presence, from that news from Pharaoh, the foreman met with Moses and Aaron, who were waiting for them. I bet they did. Moses comes into Egypt and goes, let my people go. God says this and God says that. And Pharaoh goes, oh, great. Maybe see the foreman. You tell them they're going to work so hard, they're going to wish they never knew God. Don't go tell your people that. So the very next thing the elders do is run to Moses and Aaron, right? They're probably super happy. You know, maybe I'm misreading the room. They met with Moses and Aaron, and they're waiting for them. And the foreman said to them, may the Lord look upon you and judge you. What? May the Lord look upon you and judge you? Because you have made us odious, something hated in the sight of Pharaoh and his servants. And you have put a sword in their hands to kill us. Now, here's a little pullover. I don't think I made a slide. Probably didn't. But I have a couple points. There it is. Careful how you talk to God's guys. Trust me, it's God's guys. He's not perfect. But sometimes we don't get it. And here's another thing. If you don't know God, then you have no room to ask him to judge other people. If you don't know God, stop asking him to judge other people. And number three, if you're part of God's chosen people, why didn't you go God and ask him yourself about that? Why are you running to Moses and Aaron anyways? Aren't you God's people? With your hardship, the first phone call shouldn't be 1-800, Pastor Larry. It should be, Father, what is going on around about me? Are you in the midst of this hardship? And how you want me to get out of it? How should I respond? That, right? That's how we should respond in those things. Because here's the fact. God is trying to get you out of Egypt as much as he's trying to get Egypt out of you. As much as he wants us out of Egypt, more importantly, he wants Egypt out of us. Right? Say deep roots, deep relationship. Right? Deep roots affect our fruit, right? Exodus 5, 22 through 23. Then Moses turned again to the Lord and said, now at least he's taking his direction his complaint the right direction. Right? He's not going, Aaron, can you believe God? He did this to us. Now he goes right to the source, right? It's a good thing he's learning. And he says this, oh, Lord, I've been in this place, and I don't want to belittle this moment. I can look in the history and go, he's whining. But if you've ever been there, this is an aching heart. Lord, why have you brought harm and oppression to this people? You said it would be a hard-hearted situation, but I didn't expect all this. You said pastor would be tough, but I didn't expect this, and I expect that. You said having kids would be tough, but I didn't expect this, and I expect that. You said this. You said it'd be hard, but I didn't expect all this. Man, can't believe you dumped that on me like that. Oh, how you love me. What's that about? Right? It's not what I expected. And then he says this, why did you ever send me? Ever say that when you can't understand your own purpose? Yeah. Just Jen. Well, I have two. Okay, I have two. I don't understand my purpose. Why did you send me here? Ever feel that way at all?
Yeah.
Ever since I came to Pharaoh, he says, to speak your name, he has harmed and oppressed this people. And you have done nothing at all. You've done nothing at all to rescue your people. First of all, be careful, Mo. Don't tug on Superman's cape, right? Secondly, I did do something. I sent you. Ooh, Moses. Say, I got a little Moses in me. Jesus sent who? Yeah. Who got sent? God, why is this? Why aren't you intervening in this person's life? I keep praying for him. Why aren't you? He goes, I sent you. I sent you. I'm not doing nothing. I sent you. What's in your hand? I told you I'd magnify that. Get on with it. But it's hard. I told you it was going to be hard, bro. Okay. We're like Moses. We forget. Right. God said, I was going to harden his heart, and I told you a bunch of other stuff. But the problem, Moses, seems to be when God speaks, that you have a listening problem. Not a hearing problem, but a listening problem. It is a plague of marriage counseling. People are always saying, they don't listen to me. They hear what I'm saying, but they don't listen. Moses, like the church, we often hear only the stuff that we think pertains to us. And often we hear what we want to hear, and the rest of it's yada, yada, yada. Background noise. Well, I don't want to hear that. That ain't for me. He's talking to somebody else. God said, I told you it was going to get so bad eventually that I, the great God of the universe, am going to have to take out Pharaoh's son. Like, that's how bad. I told you. What were you listening to? You heard me, but you didn't listen, Moses. Right? I thank God for tolerating my limited perspective sometimes. Right? I do. I thank him for that. Exodus 6, 6 through 9. It says, therefore, now that you're clued back in, Moses, you're about to get it. Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. See, they don't know that. They haven't lived as him as the Lord. Remind them, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I will do what I want. I am the Lord. Do I have to remind you that? I am the Lord? I'm going to remind you. So don't tell them right away. Remind them, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. You're not the Lord. Pharaoh's not the Lord. U.S. currency is not the Lord. Oil standards are not the Lord. Your food supply is not the Lord. It's not the Lord. The Lord is the Lord. Right? And he says, and I'll bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will free you from their bondage. Say their bondage. He says, I'll free you from their bondage. And the reason he has to say it that way, I believe, is that they're going to get out of the Egyptians' bondage, but they're going to try and bring their own bondages to the promised land. Their own scars to the promised land, their own perceptions to the promised land, right? You got to get out of Egypt, and you got to get Egypt out of you, right? He says, I will redeem you and rescue you with an outstretched, vigorous, powerful arm and with great acts of judgment against Egypt. Then I will take you for my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know. This is important because they don't know. This is the whole point. Some of the stuff that's happened in your life, it's because God wants you to know him. And I'm a thick-skulled guy. There's tough stuff I had to go through that I thank God you didn't have to. But if I didn't go through some of those things, I wouldn't have cried out the way I cried out. Right? Facts. He says, I'll take you as my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And it's going to be obvious when, by the time Egypt's over, it's going to be obvious to the whole world who the Lord is. I'm going to be your God. It's going to be personal. It's not going to be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's also going to be your God. I'm going to be your God. You're that deep roots you started in, you're going to be part of the tree. I'm your God. We're going to have that kind of relationship. God who redeemed you and brought you out of the hand of Egypt, and I will bring you to the land which I swore. He said, I made a promise. And I never go back my word. You tell Pharaoh that. Call my words liar. Wait and see what happens to everything Pharaoh holds dear. Because I hold my word dear, and I'm going to finish it. He says, I will bring to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You can also hear series 1 and 2, right, of Deep Roots to find out who those people are. And I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. You have the promise of my changeless, my omnipotence, and my faithfulness. Wow. What do you have? Well, I have God's never going to change on me. He's always going to be all powerful, and he will never let my back be exposed. Moses told this to the Israelites. They must have been stoked, right? That's some good news, right? But they did not listen to him. See, sometimes listening is our problem. They did not listen to him. Anyone need a minute to text somebody and say you're sorry? You can take it off. Okay. Okay, just go ahead and hit send. But they did not listen to him because, why? Of their impatience and despondency and because of their forced labor. They stopped listening because of their built-in attitudes. They stopped listening to God because they had their own built-in attitude about how God should do what God should do and how the world should be and what's fair for me and what's difficult and what's easy. They had their own attitudes. And then it said, because of their forced labor, because of their circumstances. Isn't that what keeps us from following them too? Our own tudes and some of the circumstances we get ourselves into. God said, I got to get you out of Egypt, man. I got to get you a place where you're worshiping me again, where I'm everything and everything else is nothing. I need to get my people there again. God is saying that to the church. They stop listening because of their built-in attitudes and their circumstances. It makes sense. We do the same thing. Say, I'm the church now, and I'm never going to do it. I'm not going to have that attitude. I'm the church now. No. I refuse to be like that stinky Egyptian smell on me. No. God's going to whisper and go, yes, I'm your servant. Let's do it. You're going to get there. Because that's what he's looking for. It's the only thing he's looking for. He doesn't care what's in your hand, how impressive your job is, and how much money you make, and your skills, talents, and abilities. Don't impress God. He wants to know, do I have your heart? And if I do, I'll deliver you out of Egypt. I'll deliver Egypt out of you. I will. Go ahead and stand. Let's pray. First of all, if you have, you don't have to put your hands up and embarrass yourself in front of anybody. I don't mind throwing myself under the bus. But if you have a hearing problem or a listening problem, I encourage you to meet with God right now and ask him to help you right there. Because some of us, at some point in time, have hearing problems. And some of us, at some point in time, have listening problems. Some of us think we're the great, best listeners in the world. It's hard to be the best listener in the world when you're doing all the talking. And some of us say, well, if I just heard from God, then I would. And I feel like God's saying, I'm trying to speak to you. I just don't know if you're listening. So, Father, those of us that fall into that category is your church that you love and you want to use and you died for and you sent us back out. Lord, I pray you work on our hearing and our listening during this season. We'd be great hearers and even better listeners, Lord. I pray that during the season of the church that we would be great at responding. You don't have to, like, do hard things and have plagues to get my attention. Like, Dr. Heidi shouldn't have to do anything, but I want to see you, and I should run over there. She's my bride. I should run when she says, I want to see you. But sometimes, Lord, I can't even hear you say it. I'm not responding when you're asking me to stop a thing or start a thing. Lord, I ask you to help me respond during this season. I don't want to just say it. Yeah, I listened. I want to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Say, I'm the church. I pray that every one of us get out of Egypt this season, and I pray that you be used to deliver others out of Egypt during this season too. So, Father, I pray for a room full of deliverers. Right in the middle of season 3 of Deep Roots, episode 3, Father, we're going to take on the responsibility of your voice in our lives, and we're going to put ourselves to the task to be delivered and to be deliverers. So, Lord, infuse in us, meet us at our level of question, send the help that we need. Don't leave us or forsake us, and empower us, Father God, to respond to you during this season, that the world would know God, because we were ones that pursued him. Anoint your church for that, I ask, Lord, in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.